Oh, yes. Yes, that's your answer. That's your answer to everything.
Tattoo it on your forehead. Your revolution is over, Mr. Lebowski. Condolences. The bomb's lost. My advice to you is to do what your parents did. Get a job, sir. The bombs will always lose. Do you hear me, Lebowski?
Hour two of Overtime is coming at you live from the Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. Tanner Carson, Will Stevens with you for one more hour on your Tuesday evening. Hope everyone is doing well out there. More preseason list rolling in makes you still believe that we're going to have college football. Just want to keep looking at the list, want to keep believing. That's what I want to do. Let's share a little bit of this with you before we get back to some other topics I want to tackle, including the NBA's snitch line in the bubble. Can't wait to talk about
that.
We got
snitches?
You have a phone line for snitches.
Oh, no.
Down the bubble. That's what you got. But before we get to that, so 8 Tennessee volunteers have been named to Phil Steele's 2020 preseason All-SEC teams.
I'm liking Phil Steele.
I always love Phil Steele, man. Phil Steele.
Hard name to say. I messed it up, too.
Phil Steele.
Phil Steele.
It's like that crappy movie with Hugh Jackman from about 9 years ago, Real Steel, except it's Phil. And you add an E to the end of Steel.
That was such a terrible movie.
It was so bad. He was in Knoxville to promote it.
Yeah.
I do remember that. He had a UT foam finger. It's like some Australian dude's probably never watched American football in his life, or if he has, he doesn't understand it. Talking about Tennessee football.
I'll take all the fans we can get.
To promote some crappy movie. He was comparing the 2011 Vols to his character in Real Steel. Yeah, both those things went about the same way. Both of those went about the same way here. But Phil Steele, the great college football writer, his preseason magazines always, always must read.
Yes.
Always must read items here. Here are the 8 Vols named to his All-SEC teams. And I'm going to run through them real quick. And you tell me if any surprised you, because some of these are not surprises. Trey Smith, duh.
Yeah, not surprised.
Henry T, Brent Samaglia, Cade Mays. Good to see Cade on board list, even though he's not officially been cleared yet.
Yeah.
And JT Daniels has it in Athens. That's nice. Brandon Kennedy. I would say he's third team.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that. That's a little bit of a surprise, but at the same time, knowing our team, not really.
Wanya Morris,
yeah.
No shocker. Bryce Thompson, good to see him get recognition. He could end up being one of the best cornerbacks in the conference.
I think people don't realize that either. Like, I don't think people realize how good our secondary is going to be.
That's not a unit I'm going to worry about if we do play football. I'm going to worry about defensive line. And I want to worry about, who can step up in the wide receiver room.
Not worried about QB?
I was going to get to that. I mean, can I even be worried? We know what we're going to get. If you roll Gitmo out there, I mean, it is what it is. He might be a little bit better, but come on. We know his ceiling. We do.
The ceiling is the roof.
Oh, my God. Okay, thank you, Michael. Appreciate that. Appreciate that a whole lot. I have one more. How about this? A dude who I think a lot of people have forgotten is on our roster, and he's a grad transfer from USC, Valus Jones.
Oh, big punt return
the
guy.
The really good punt and kickoff returner. I assume he's made the All-SEC specialist team.
I mean, that would be the only thing I could think of.
So good to see Valus Jones get some preseason recognition. That's good.
It's good. It's good to get more than like 4 people and the same 4 people we would be expecting on those lists.
So good. Trey Smith, also according to Phil Steele, he has made his All-American team.
Okay.
So another no duh. No duh. Trey Smith was also, according to some mock draft today, drafted 24th overall.
It's lower than I would expect, but
health problems though.
Yeah, that's what
you would assume. He'll be taken lower than he actually should be.
Whoever gets him is going to get a steal.
Big
no
big
matter
steal.
Where he's
they're
not
going to get a field steal.
Yes,
they're going to get.
Yes, beautiful. I set you up. Little alley.
Thank you.
You hit him with the oops.
Appreciate it.
Speaking of Phil Steele, did you see him? I don't know if it was him, but someone released the lines that he had picked for Tennessee. Did you get a chance to look at those at all?
See, I'm going to be honest with you. I haven't looked at the lines because I don't know how many of these games we're going to actually play.
Exactly. That's.
I do know we're, what, 3 touchdown favorites over Charlotte. It was like 21 or 24 mm-hmm. over Charlotte. That's about all I remember, honestly, man.
It's a pick 'em against Florida. And it's
you know what? I'll take a pick 'em against Florida at this point. They beat us by 31 last year. Yeah, I'm taking a pick 'em.
I think it was a pick 'em against South Carolina as well. I think those were our 2 pick 'ems this year.
Okay.
And I think that's just because it was away. But again, these are also being weighted, I think, with the expectation of fans, I think. I don't think that was calculated in these.
Okay, then.
I don't know. I don't have the whole lines. I just thought it was interesting that we were picking against Florida mainly.
I'll take it. I'll take it at this point. Can you imagine the scene if that's what you end up as your season opener? If you're doing conference-only games? Like, if they don't move an SEC West opponent to what would have been your Oklahoma week? Kicking off the season in front of no fans at home against Florida. That's got to be so strange.
I want football very badly, but if it's at that cost, it makes me nervous. To have to open it up with Florida?
Yeah.
I wouldn't like that.
I don't know, man, but I mean, that's better than it usually is a lot of other seasons. Usually we'll play some tough non-conference opponent, and Florida's going to play absolute dog crap before we play them.
It's true. We do
it
always.
It might be better playing them out of the gate.
We normally draw like a Georgia Tech, a NC State, a West Virginia, a
Georgia
State.
This year was going to be in Oklahoma at Norman before you play Florida. No, thank you. No mas. No mas. I'm good. That means no more, not no thank you, obviously. But
I know Spanish.
Okay, thank you.
Muy pequeño. Very little Spanish.
Okay. See, I didn't even know what you just said there.
I don't think that's the correct declension of any of those words, but I know that those words translate to that.
Anyway, shout out to Phil Steele. 8 Vols on the preseason All-SEC teams. Trey Smith, preseason All-American.
8 Vols, I think, would 8 Vols.
Would you even like say Vols any differently, though?
8 Vols? No.
You would just say Vols.
8 Vols.
8 Vols, yeah. I say it's that much easier. Moving on here, let's talk about the snitch hotline. So there's a report that this snitch hotline, this Karen hotline down in the NBA bubble in Disney World, there's a hotline set up for other players or people in the bubble to report to the NBA when someone crosses that imaginary line mm-hmm. from the bubble campus to outside of it. To greater Disney World, I would assume. You don't want to do what Holmes of the Kings did and pick up your Postmates because you're so hungry. You can't stand that quote-unquote trash food that's being served to you in the bubble, which is fantastic looking, by the way.
Yeah, I don't get that. This was like when I called in, I think it was at the start of quarantine, and was complaining about the lunch food at Farragut and got blasted because I don't know who was hosting with you that day, but I got blasted. I think it might have been... Dude named John? Does that sound familiar?
Oh, John Tyler, yeah.
Yes, that's right. But yeah, I mean, seeing like the Motel 6.
Rondo yeah. calling in Motel 6.
Really, bro? Really? I sleep on a couch. Like, how are you going to flex on me like that? That's a Motel 6 to you?
You know, seeing him post that and also the report about how he broke his thumb, he's going to be out 6 to 8 weeks. It makes me think of that one vine of the kid in that classroom with the glasses. Saying, you know what? You know what? I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it.
Don't say it, Tanner.
You know what, Rajon Rondo? I don't care that you broke your thumb.
All right, we're getting canceled.
Oh. But yeah, there's a snitch hotline. You don't want to. I get why they don't want players to go out. Because if they're lenient to someone crossing the line to get a delivery order, you know, if they keep being lenient towards that, what's going to stop James Harden from going to a strip club?
On you give an inch, they take a mile.
You give an inch, you bring back STDs, you know. That's what's going to happen, the bubble. And then you bring back Rona, of course, and we can't play basketball anymore. It's what we don't want to happen. It's what we don't want to happen. There's only been 2 players of these hundreds of players down there who have tested positive, and they're isolating.
It was Westbrook and...
Well, Westbrook's not there yet.
He's not?
The people who have already been down
I got
there.
You. Who was it then?
I don't think the name's been released.
Okay, okay.
But Westbrook's not going to be there yet. You don't know what the situation with Harden is. But it's a lot easier if you can detect that they had the virus before they get to the bubble versus if there's an outbreak in the bubble, you're screwed.
Yeah,
you're absolutely screwed. So I get why they want to be very strict with this. And once the season actually starts, once these seeding games restart at the end of the month, that's why they're going to fine people for breaking this bubble. And they're going to fine them about $50,000 or whatever percentage of their salary for each game they miss.
Jeez.
There's a reason they're going to make it strict. But to have a snitch hotline, though, to have a tip hotline, to have a Tekashi 6ix9ine hotline.
1-800, I'm a rat.
Yeah, the optics of that don't go over well when you see that there's a snitch line. And according to Shams, by the way, Shams taking the spotlight of the NBA insiders while Woj is
Woj is beating the crap out of himself right now.
He's punching air right now. Should never use your work email, dude. That's all I'm going to say. He's on like a 1 week vacation. People acting like he's got sent to prison or something like that. But either way, Shams using the opportunity to take the spotlight of the big NBA insider. Shams tweeting out today, some players have received warnings from violations, sources said, as league ensures social distancing and mask protocols on campus. Yeah, multiple tips have already been placed into the NBA's anonymous hotline to report protocol violations at Disney World. Imagine snitching on people at Disney World, man. That's supposed to be the happiest place on earth. But I get why the protocols are there. But when you see the reports that there's an anonymous snitch hotline.
Who's snitching? Do they have voice, like masking, no pun intended, technology? Because like if I was an NBA player, like especially like not calling out any names, but if I was Joel Embiid, like I would think Joel Embiid would be the type of homie to snitch on people, especially after he showed up in a hazmat suit. And I think like Joel Embiid's voice is one of the easiest to recognize in the NBA. I would be nervous about calling into a snitch hotline.
Is he? Yeah, he's the most likely to snitch, right?
Him. I wouldn't be surprised if Rondo snitched now that he's injured. Kyrie.
You have to think of the most petty players in the NBA who are down that bubble.
Marcus Smart.
Oh yeah, him for sure.
Who else is down there? It's definitely not the teams that are trying, like, or who aren't trying to win. Like, it's definitely not the teams who are going down there to get their butts kicked, because they wouldn't be snitching on people to do things that they want to do. It's definitely some contenders.
Wait, I don't know why I'm yawning. Wow.
Bless you.
I swear you're not boring, Will.
It's all good.
I swear you're not boring. No, I was honestly thinking, you're talking about contenders, which someone on the Clippers? Be snitching? Would Kawhi snitch? Is Kawhi petty enough?
No, Kawhi's not a snitch. He's a fun guy. I would say Pat Bev. Pat Bev could definitely be a snitch.
Him for sure.
I mean, your thought process is correct in terms of going to the Clippers or going to the Lakers and saying LeBron, but you didn't say that. But great thought process. I can kind of tell where you were going. But Kawhi's not a snitch.
Is this one of the few situations where snitching should be seen as a good thing?
No. Snitching is never a good thing.
Yeah, but like if you don't want your whole season to be restarted, you went through all this process, and then all of a sudden, again, maybe Harden or some others go out of the campus, and then they bring back the Rona, and it's a big outbreak, and you have to cancel the season, period.
That's a good point.
And what happens? I mean, one snitch or two might prevent that. One snitch or two equals you be able to go throughout early October in this bubble and actually finish your playoffs.
I would say the reason I say no snitching is good snitching, because if it's good snitching, it's not snitching. It's just telling the truth and getting out in front of something. I think it's like this hotline, I don't think is getting out in front of something. I think it's just mainly used for like little details, and I think trying to get people in trouble. Now, if they were actually found out that someone was planning a trip outside the bubble or something like that and they called in a tip, that wouldn't be snitching. But just like whoever got Rashawn Holmes in trouble or things like that, that's snitching, and like that's not good.
Did someone actually snitch on him, or did he just like admit?
I have no idea.
He broke the imaginary border.
I have no idea.
Are they going to end up putting like ankle monitors on these guys?
like shot collars?
Probation? Yeah. if they cross the imaginary line, let's just say you want to go Epcot so badly.
Just dome it. Just dome the bubble. Make it a bubble.
Yeah, like in the Simpsons movie.
It's that simple.
In that big dome, yeah. Being the Dimsdale Dim a Dome.
Any stadium they play in, they can call it a dome. Like, there's just benefits. I don't know. Also, you can't have an imaginary line.
You have to worry about James Harden and his quest for a dome, by the way. Badoomch. The basketball tournament ends tonight. They have their championship game.
Oh, TBT?
Yep, you going to be watching that?
I am not.
It's Sideline Cancer versus Golden Eagles. I don't know.
It's Marquette and...
Marquette's the Golden Eagles, of course. I don't know who Sideline Cancer is made out of.
Yeah, no, I don't know that one.
Who are they? They are... Let's see here. And again, man, if Bobby Mays' team at the Volunteers wanted to go through, they might have made a run for this championship game. They had such a stacked roster, but COVID just makes things tough. So
yeah, I was going to watch if the Volunteers were going to be in it, but it didn't really excite me to watch a bunch of alumni.
Such a nice roster, too. I'm really trying to – okay, the schools that these players went to
– Is it not one school?
It's so varied. No, not this okay. one. They look like they're made out of a bunch of Atlantic 10 schools and maybe some old Big East schools. Let's see. You have people who went to Rhode Island, Xavier, Pittsburgh, Indiana, George Washington, Penn State. Oh, coach went to Penn State. Central Michigan. Yeah, it's like varied. It's varied. It's more like Midwest and East Coast teams is what okay. it looks like.
Maybe they know each other from high school or something.
Maybe. I don't know. I thought these teams were made consist of, like, school alumni teams.
No, I think it started like that, and then because they didn't have a lot of teams to begin with to play, alumni-wise, they started letting teams basically make their own teams. Because I know I've watched the TBT before because it's just only sports on during the summer, and I know Sideline Cancer has been there for a while. And a couple of other schools like that. Or not schools, but teams like that.
Yeah, see, that's why I thought it was going to be with the Volunteers because it was all Tennessee players on that team. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think if you name your team after the college, you're definitely going to be an all-college team. But like Joe Johnson was on the International Elites or something like that. I think you can kind of grandfather players in. I don't think they necessarily have to play at the school.
Okay. Will you be watching, though? You said you weren't.
No, I won't. I would rather watch MLS or soccer.
Yeah, you got some games. You have two games in MLS's back tournament tonight. 8 o'clock once we get off here, you have NYC FC against Orlando, and you also have what's the Philadelphia team called? The Union. Yeah, the Union against the Inter-Miami CF.
Okay.
So you have two games tonight. So, yeah, if you want to watch soccer, you got more MLS action going on tonight. Am I a hypocrite in the fact that for months I've been wanting some type of sports, but once these actual sporting events are on, I'm not really watching them?
No, because I think...
I'm like set my ways. I don't ever watch MLS, and I should be, because I was watching Premier League just a few weeks ago.
Well, okay, that's two different animals.
I know it's different, but...
I enjoy Premier League so much more than I enjoy MLS.
It is so much better, we know.
But there's a difference between you can tell when these guys aren't playing great basketball, and you can tell that they are alumni that didn't make it to the league. But the MLS, they're all pros, like still, regardless of if they're not in the great division. And so it's just a different step. I like watching pro sports or college sports where I have some connection to it, but just watching guys play pickup doesn't interest me at all.
Yeah, that's why I'm not going to watch this TBT final tonight. And I know it's been – some people said it's been good basketball. But, again, I watched the game on the TV here last week. I think it was Team CP3 versus the Golden Eagles. So, yeah, Chris Paul's team against D. Wade's team.
Oh, I remember watching that game at work.
Yeah, no, I watched it. But, again, it's just it's glorified semi-pro pickup basketball.
I don't want to watch a league where Aaron Kraft is the best player in that league.
Oh, hell no. No, I'm good. Yeah, that's a good point. He brings back too many bad memories.
If I have to watch another video of Aaron Kraft hitting a layup off of a reach-in foul and saying Aaron Kraft is at it again, I'm going to throw my phone.
Yeah, I'm Alan watching that. I'll probably be Alan watching MLS tonight. But, hey, if you like that stuff, more power to you. What I will be watching later this week, though, I haven't taken in each PGA Tour event. I don't sit down and watch all four rounds, but I like to keep up, and I definitely like watching the weekend action. Mm-hmm. I have a big one this week. You have a big one this week, the Memorial.
Tiger's back, right?
Tiger is back, baby. First time since February, 151 days. That's going to be so strange to see Tiger playing in a tournament with no gallery, no fans flocking to him. Because Tiger feeds off the gallery. He feeds off those people being there. And he's going to have no one. It's going to be no one there. Now
he played the match, though. And I guess there was a much higher media presence, and it's different, obviously. But like,
well, the match, you're just joking around there.
That's true. That's true.
He was literally playing on his home course.
But isn't Tiger like, correct me if I'm wrong, because I don't know golf, but is he not good enough to be able to go out and kind of joke around?
Oh, well, yeah. That's why I'm saying the lack of fans, I'm bringing that up with me still thinking that I don't think it's going to affect him that much. I'm just imagining, though, how that's going to feel for him mentally, right?
Mm-hmm.
That first tee shot, the opening tee shot on Thursday. I wonder how he's really going to feel with him hitting that drive and just hearing nothing. Maybe some chatter. That's all he's going to hear. It's going to be strange.
It would be eerie, I feel like, if you're used to a lot of crowd noise.
But hey, whatever, man. Tiger's back.
Yeah.
Tiger's back. They're going to be up there at the same course in Ohio, Jack Nicklaus's course. Jack Nicklaus saying that he doesn't care that handshakes are taboo now. He's going to shake the winner's hand. And he said if they don't want to shake, if they just want to do a fist bump or an elbow bump, he's going to be respectful. But the 80-something-year-old Jack Nicklaus, not afraid to shake hands in this pandemic.
I respect it.
Which more power to him, because I tweeted this out earlier, Will, but can you tell me why handshakes and high fives are taboo all of a sudden? Can't you just sanitize and wash your hands as normal? You're not going to get COVID from touching another person's hand. It doesn't work like that.
No, I've been in so many public restrooms where I watch people walk out without washing their hands. I kind of don't trust it at this point.
But if you know you're going to be in a controlled environment kind of like that with all the PGA players and personnel getting tested all the time, you can shake one person's hand if you're Jack Nicklaus.
That's right. I guess it's the optic.
I mean, if it's Jack Nicklaus, one of the GOATs, if he's offering to shake my hand after I won the Memorial at his course, I'm shaking his damn hand.
For sure.
I'm absolutely doing that.
No, I have no problem with handshakes.
I don't either. I don't believe anyone who says that once we get past this that we'll never shake hands again, we'll never high-five again. That's a load of crap.
Chivalry isn't dead, neither are handshakes.
We've been shaking hands forever. We're not going to stop.
It's like one of the oldest sayings in the book. Like, my dad sold his house on a handshake. Like, that's a big deal.
It's beyond just a gesture, right?
It's respect.
It's respect. You're taught from a young age you want to look someone in the eye, give a firm handshake too. Especially if you greet people at church. All the old men will shake your hand. They'll just try to crush your hand.
Oh, I loved giving those dudes limp fishes. Just the absolute look of like disgust on their face. But they can't say anything mean. Like, yeah, but they can't say anything to you or teach you how to do it because A, your parents are standing next to you, but B, you're in church. So just hand him one of those old limp fish and just sit there and watch all their problems fester.
Now you have to be careful with shaking the old lady's hands.
Oh, yes. I'm very delicate.
Very careful doing that.
Kiss the ring. Is that not tradition?
I've never done that.
Oh. Yikes.
No. Yeah. Might have been different in your church. I was raised Southern Baptist. We didn't do that.
Methodist.
When I was a little kid, I got the hugs from the old lady. Said, "Oh, you look so cute." Did all that. You know, but even when I was a little kid, if I'd shake a man's hand, like an older dude at the church, he'd still try to crush my hand.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. Is it an intimidation factor?
I guess so. Or maybe they're just set in their ways.
Like, I could break you with this greeting.
I mean, if you're used to shaking hands very firm for decades, you're not going to stop just because you're shaking a kid's hand, I guess.
That's fair.
Maybe you might go a little wider, but...
It's like when NBA players play kids one-on-one and just dunk and swat them.
I mean, it's like I was shaking Kawhi Leonard's hand. Just getting... just crushed right there. All right, 865-546-8200 is our number. If you want to hop on hour number two of overtime as we cruise along towards the end of your Tuesday evening, we will be back after this. It's another day and another random tweet I see about Shaq doing something completely random. He's everywhere.
What was better than that.
He was the mediator in the Saints team meeting after Drew Brees said his comments about standing for the anthem.
Was he really?
Yeah, he was. He was like the moderator and the mediator speaking to the team via Zoom. He's, you know, out here still doing all his random stuff that he does. Saw him in his Icy Hot commercials the other day. I see him now in his new Papa John's commercials. Of course, he's on the board for Papa John's now. He has his own pizza now. He's got the Shaq-a-roni pizza.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
It looks pretty damn good. It's only for $12, by the way. It's like this large pizza. It's got double pepperoni, and they put the pepperoni all the way out to the edge of the crust. Looks pretty good. The Shaq-a-roni. I might get one, and I'm not a... And I like Papa John's, but...
Shaq-a-roni sounds like one of those 90s things they tried to push on one of his spin moves in the post.
The Shaq-a-roni!
Like, they had the dream shake, and then Shaq had the Shaq-a-roni.
It's like when he spins it, it's like someone tosses up a pizza dough, spinning it around. So that's what he does. And
I would say it's more like a washing machine.
Okay. Fair enough. I guess I just... The point being, Shaq does a lot of things... And he's everywhere, and including this one today. Will, you saw this video as well. A police dash cam caught Shaq pulling over on the side of the interstate to help a woman change her tire. Just
yeah.
Good guy Shaq, just giant dude out there in a tank top.
I genuinely,
hey, change your tire.
Genuinely thought it was a Bigfoot thing at first. I was scrolling by, and then when I saw the word Shaq as I was scrolling by, I scrolled back up. But I thought it was perspective or something. Or the lady had to be like 4'1", but like I didn't realize how tiny Shaq makes average human beings look. Like when you watch him play against like 6'8 homies, like he looks big, but he doesn't look that big. But then when you stand him next to a lady from Florida.
I mean, you're dealing with a dude who's 7'2". I mean, and not only is he tall, he's just big.
He's not a graceful 7'2".
No, he's not.
He's not
like Urosh.
No, he's not a Giannis 7'2". He's Big Diesel.
And this screenshot here, this cop standing next to him looks pretty damn big, too. Shaq's kind of standing in the grass in the median, so he's kind of, like, shorter by standing in the grass. But this cop doesn't look that much smaller. Man, how big is this cop? This cop looks like he's 6'8". I know he's standing off the road, but still. I don't know. That just caught my attention, too. Where was this? This was in
Was it Florida?
Of course
it was. Sounds like something Florida.
Just see Shaq changing tires. It's like, just welcome to Florida.
Most of the times when you get funny dash cam videos, it's normally from Florida.
According to the Alachua County Sheriff's Office, a person had crashed their car on I-75 in the Gainesville area. Oh, no.
Gross.
No, not in Gainesville. This happened yesterday when Shaq witnessed it and sprang into action. Cops say the former NBA superstar, who has a home in Florida, I'm sure he has homes everywhere, he hung out with and comforted the driver until officers arrived on the scene. In police footage from the accident, you can see the 7-footer clear as day when the cops rolled up. In a typical awesome Shaq fashion, he gave the officers a fist bump. Good Lord. This is not the first time he's played Good Samaritan on... when it comes to like car accidents happening in public, by the way.
Really?
He's been seen helping out before. In 2018, he was helping out at a wreck in L.A. They were told that he did what he could to help drivers out of there. And, wow.
Didn't he want to be a police officer when he first retired? I feel like
he's
actually
deputized in some county.
Not volunteer sheriff like Dwight Schrute. He's deputized?
He's, I'm sure there's some specifics because I don't know if he went through like police academy or anything like that, but yeah,
they'd have to build a whole new course for him.
Oh, easily. He would destroy the obstacles there. He would just push them over. Off the court. I love Shaq's off the court section on his Wikipedia page because there's 10 different subsections of his off the court. He has education, law enforcement, music career, acting, video games, television, advertising, MMA, professional wrestling, and business ventures.
I completely forgot. He has bars.
Oh, he was rapping as early when he was with the Magic. He's been doing the rapping for a while, and he just now stopped rapping. And he went to EDM.
Oh, is he a DJ now?
DJ Diesel.
DJ Diesel.
He's at EDM festivals just in the mosh pit with people.
He is by far one of the funniest athletes, too. I remember watching old Saturday Night Live skits with him in it. Hilarious dude.
O'Neill went through the L.A. County Sheriff's Reserve Academy and became a reserve officer with the Los Angeles Port Police. On March 2nd, 2005, he was given an honorary U.S. Deputy Marshal title and named the spokesman for the Safe Surfing Foundation. He served an honorary role on the task force of the same name, which tracks down sexual predators who target children on the internet.
Hey.
Upon his trade to Miami, he began training to become a Miami Beach Reserve officer. In December of 2005, he was sworn in but elected for a private ceremony to avoid distracting attention from the other officers. And he assumed a $1 per year salary in this capacity.
Good guy, Shaq.
It's like those politicians who already make enough money, like outside politics, and they become governor, president, whatever, and it's like, yeah, I'm just going to forfeit my salary. Good guy, Shaq.
Good guy, Shaq. I put him on my list of presidents.
Shortly thereafter in Miami, he witnessed a hate crime, as in someone was being assaulted while the person assaulting this man was yelling homophobic slurs, and he called Miami-Dade police describing the suspect and helping police over cell phone and track the offender. His actions resulted in the arrest of two suspects on charges of aggravated battery, assault, and a hate crime. And this is the funniest one. September 06, he took part in a raid on a home in rural Bedford County, Virginia. He had been made an honorary deputy by the local sheriff's department. He was not qualified as a SWAT officer.
Imagine just like SWAT coming at your door is scary enough, but seeing Shaq
run at
break
you,
down
yes.
your door. Like you're flushing crack down the toilet and you turn around and see a 7'1" man duck into your door frame.
Hey, give me that crack. You leave that crack alone.
Crack is whack, bro. I almost went to Charles Barkley right there.
You got close.
Crack is terrible.
That's terrible crack.
You want to do Shaq? All you gotta do is this. Usually, hey, get that crack away.
Shaq
from
would
you.
Be such a good Batman.
I'm the Batman.
I'm the Shaq man.
Dude, he was one of his funniest movie cameos was the beginning of a Scary Movie 4. Him and Dr. Phil in the Saw parody. And he has to make the free throw with like the metal ball to get the saws to cut the chains or whatever. He keeps missing them. Dr. Phil keeps getting pissed.
Was it what was the one movie he played a genie?
Okay, so here's the thing. I love talking about this because this almost gets you to the Mandela effect. His genie movie was Kazam. Kazam was his genie movie.
I wanted to say that.
That did exist. Okay, when you talk about this movie, though, some people will get confused with the Sinbad Genie movie that didn't exist that you have so many people think that was made back in the 90s called Shazam.
No, I almost said Shazam, but Shazam is the...
Kazam is Shaq's actual Genie movie that's real.
Shazam is a Marvel or a DC character, though, correct?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I...
think that's DC, but also some people think that there is a Sinbad movie called Shazam where he was a genie, which never was made. Mandela effect.
Huh.
The mass misremembering. Yeah, Kazam was a real movie in 1996.
Okay.
I can't imagine. Oh, it's pretty bad. You want to know what Rotten Tomatoes gives it?
Is it above a 20?
No. 6.
It's a 26.
But user reviews are much more friendly. Google users, 77% like the movie.
Yeah.
Versus actual critics hate it.
That's if you're watching the movie for Shaq and not for the movie value. If you're just sitting there going, oh my god, it's a 7'2", 300-pound man in a genie costume.
It's a genie. What's going on there? But Shaq, good dude.
Great dude.
You know what? I would get in a minor car wreck if that meant Shaq helped me. That'd be a good way to meet someone very famous.
I feel like if Shaq...
like, if I wasn't going to be hurt and someone else wasn't going to be hurt, yeah, I'd get in a car wreck for Shaq to help me.
That'd be sick.
I'd get some minor whiplash. I'd be okay.
That'd be sick. I feel like if Shaq was just like standing in front of a car and the car was rolling at 10 miles per hour, it would be a minor car crash. Actually, it'd probably be a major car crash.
It probably would be with him. Good guy, Shaq.
Good guy, Shaq.
Doing good guy things. I want to talk about this here, too, before we do birthdays on the other side. Since we're just talking about random things I saw on the internet today, what the hell is Burger King doing?
Making bangers and what saving the planet from cow farts.
God. God, I knew you were going to take this route. I just...
What route? The route of irrational thought?
Irrational thought, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just... What? Can you explain this more for me? I wake up, I see Burger King has tweeted out a new advertisement for their environmental sustainability efforts to reduce the cows that they're going to turn into their burgers on the farms that they own or work with. They're going to reduce their methane production by as much as 33%. Methane production from cows, a.k.a. cow farts.
Yeah, cow farts.
And they used King Mason Ramsey.
Young King.
And this very just fever dream acid trip setting to sing about cow farts. Yeah, Mason Ramsey was going to be the next Hank Williams, and now he's singing about cow farts.
I mean, what other things do country music singers sing about?
Trucks and beer.
Cow farts, trucks and beer, and girls. And that one
Yeah,
dog.
I can't wait for Jason Aldean to make his next song about cow farts. Luke Bryan singing about cow farts. Blake Shelton, all those guys. Their music's basically cow farts anyway, so.
Yeah.
It's close enough. But what the hell? I'm just
Are you going to tell me it wasn't a banger, though?
I quit watching like 15 seconds into it.
You didn't watch
it.
The whole thing?
No, I did not.
It gets so much better. It gets so much better.
That gets better? Are you serious?
Yes. It is one of the greatest things I've seen today. Like, literally, I mean, also, just his voice is beautiful. Like,
I know it is. That's why he doesn't need to use it for cow farts for, like, one of the worst fast food chains out there. Like, I'm not going to eat at Burger King.
But if you're, like, 11 and Burger King is offering you a fat check to sing about cow farts, which is hilarious when you're 11.
I'm not going to turn it down,
yeah. Like, he probably didn't even have to write that song.
No, we
didn't. It just says... Sing these lyrics at a yodel on methane. Cow farts.
About the whole methane thing and the climate change thing. And it's just like, here's the thing. Burger King's trying to do a good thing from a marketing standpoint, from a PR standpoint for sure. They've already introduced the Impossible Whoppers and the Impossible Sausage Biscuits or whatever, which I'm not going to try because are you aware that the actual content of those things are actually worse for you?
It's like drinking a Diet Coke. Like, the Diet Coke deteriorates your body more than the caffeine and sugar would.
It's bad. But here's the point, though. They're trying to do this really good thing, trying to come off as environmentally conscious, right? You can never do enough to act woke on the internet because all I saw were a bunch of replies from vegans just saying, well, just don't eat meat anyway.
Yeah, they're like, just stop using cows. That. Just let your cows free.
You know what?
Where are cows going
to
go?
You know what I say for people telling me to go vegan? No. That's all I say. No, I'm good.
That's what I say as I munch down on my ribs.
Like, I'm good. Like, if you live, like, 3 or 4 years longer than me, I don't care. Who wants to live three or four more years on this planet?
I
say I win the lottery. I get to eat the better food, and I get to go off this planet faster than you.
Oh, God. Why would you not want to be happy if, like, or at least as happy as you can be?
I'm good not eating a bunch of fake meat, and I'm good. I don't want the meat substitutes. I'm good. No, I'm fine. I'm good.
Can you agree with me? A meal is not a true meal unless it has a meat. You can make some exceptions with like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich or something like that, but like a protein substitute.
I mean, for me, usually a lot of my meals include some type of meat. Now, I do understand like even regular doctors who are not pro-vegan or anything like that, they will tell you to limit your red meat consumption.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just like anything. You got to have in moderation. You got to have in moderation. So I don't eat a whole lot of red meat. I like eating chicken, maybe some turkey alternatives. That's good. But again, it's real meat.
Yes.
It's still real meat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I'm not along with it. And Burger King's just, you're not going to get me to eat there. I'm sorry. Your food's not going to taste better because your cows are farting less.
Yeah, it's one of the few restaurants that's a right-hand turn on Kingston Pike coming here, and I'll still turn left on Kingston Pike before I turn into there.
I tried giving Burger King a chance like a year ago because there's one on the way to and from my house that's pretty close, and I thought, well, I'll download this app. They have some really good deals. Mm-hmm. And I'm just, no, I just can't do it.
If you're selling 10 nuggets for like 59 cents,
there's a reason.
Yeah, they're not good.
There's a reason. I haven't had the nuggets. I'm not about to do that to myself. But just like I tried the Whoppers again, and they're not bad, but no, I'd rather have Chick-fil-A. I'd rather have stuff that's actually fresh.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree with you.
I'm good. But yeah, cow farts. Is this the last thing Mason Ramsey's going to be known for?
No. This is the beginning of a career.
I hope you're right.
I love Mason Ramsey.
I hope you're right, man. This can't be the last thing the public remembers him for. It just can't.
He really did go white trash full circle, though. Walmart and Burger King.
Started at Walmart, went back to Burger King. It's great. All he missed was the subway inside the Walmart. That's all he missed out upon. We are going to play birthdays when we come back. Still waiting word on potential competition.
They're scared?
For you, Will. I don't know. I just haven't gotten a text back. We shall see if you're going to have an opponent or not. If you don't, I'll just quiz you, I guess.
Sounds good. I'll get them all right. I'm confident today.
Oh, okay. That's on record. You'll get them all right then. Okay. We shall see what happens when we come back to wrap up the show. You're listening to Overtime.
Time to play the game. Time to play the game.
All right, you know what time it is when you hear that music. It is the final segment of Overtime, and it is time to play the birthday game. We got some competition for Will.
They weren't as scared as I thought.
Nah, probably not. Let's go ahead and bring him on in. We have Hayden Wallen. I sent the bat signal to Hayden and Tucker. Hayden was the first one to answer it. So we got Hayden Wallen in here to take on Will Stevens. Hayden, what's up, buddy?
Nothing. Sorry for skipping out on yesterday. I just get carried away.
Yeah,
with what I was doing. Well, not bad.
Hey, look, you're lucky. You have a short memory, and I'm easy to forgive people, so it's okay. It's okay. That's why we brought you back tonight. You're welcome, Hayden.
Oh, thank you.
Anyway, good Lord, We got a short one today, man. I'm just July 14th. Not a great day for celebrity birthdays. I've only found two today, but we have a this day in history as well. So this is going to be a short game. First of two gets it. Good luck, everyone. Will, are you ready?
I'm ready.
I know Hayden is ready. All right, let's go ahead and get things started. Your first birthday for today. I will say the two birthdays are pretty good. These are A-listers. Your first one for today, he is 32 years old. He is an Irish MMA fighter.
Conor McGregor.
It is Conor McGregor. Will Stevens gets it. Yeah. I couldn't really give you that many other hints. Should I have said he owns an Irish whiskey?
He punches old people in bars.
He does do that. But when I said Irish MMA fighter, it's going to be the obvious one. All right. Already, Will is on the cusp of getting a dub on this very short edition of the birthday game. Let's see who gets this final birthday for today. Again, another A-lister. He would have been 107 today. He passed away in 2006. He was a president. He was the 38th president of the United States. Before that, he was a vice president, and he also had a really good college football career at Michigan. He was an All-American at Michigan back in the 30s. He was the president in the mid-70s. And he was not...
Gerald Ford?
It is Gerald Ford! Hayden gets it. Yeah, my next hint was going to be he was not elected. Just slides on in there after old Richard resigns and goes, "Hey, I'm Blackrock." But yeah, Gerald R. Ford fell down airplanes a lot.
Fell down airplanes?
Like the steps to Air Force One, he fell down a whole lot. He had a lot of accidents. He was definitely accident prone. But yeah, Gerald R. Ford would have been 107 today. Passed away December 26, 2006. R.I.P. to him.
R.I.P.
Good old Gerald Ford. All right. You each have gotten one birthday. And that leads us to a good old This Day in History tiebreaker. And on This Day in History, July 14th, I take you all the way back. Take you all the way back to 1789. Okay, the way I will phrase this question is, this event happened today in 1789. It began this very, very notable revolution. The Bastille was stormed.
Oh, French Revolution?
The French Revolution!
Woo!
Will Stevens gets a dub. Hayden, are you familiar with the French Revolution? Are you familiar with Bastille Day?
Well, I'm familiar with it, but I didn't know exactly when it was, so...
What's today?
I'm still over on the This Day in History tiebreakers, to be honest. I don't think I've ever gotten one. So.
Study up.
Unfortunate.
Sorry, Hayden. Well, we'll beat you to the gun on this one. But anyway, I thank you for not forgetting about me this time, Hayden. I appreciate it.
Okay, see y'all.
See ya. Hayden Wallen, everyone. All right, a couple more minutes left on this Tuesday edition of the show. Yeah, French Revolution. You thought the American Revolution was kind of bloody? It's got nothing what happened in France.
Oh, France was wild.
It broke out the guillotine, man. Robespierre.
If Les Mis has anything or shows you anything of what happened, it was a wild time.
You know, Les Mis, not about
really
the actual French Revolution. Not the one 1789.
France was still a wild place if Les Mis shows you anything.
What was Les Mis actually about? No, there was like another one in the 1800s. What the hell went on? I don't know. I've never watched Les Mis. I've never read it.
We had to watch it in world history, and so I just assumed it was French Revolution. If it's not, I feel silly. But I don't feel as silly as I feel good about getting that dub. What, 3-1 since I returned?
Been pretty good. You've been pretty solid in birthday games, Will.
I just needed that one extra year of U.S. history.
I have your answer, by the way. The June Rebellion in 1832 in Paris.
Okay, that makes more sense.
So it was a time of social upheaval, but it wasn't the French Revolution. So there you go. It only happened over the course of 2 days, June 5th through the 6th, 1832. So there you go. Rebellion was crushed.
Sounds like Star Wars.
How many people died? 93 were killed from the Republican side, a.k.a. the Rebellion. And yeah, 37 died from the French monarchy. So there you go. That's what Les Mis is about.
Oh, the more you know.
And there you go. And there you go. Also on this day in history, this July 14th, back in 1099, Jerusalem was captured in the First Crusade.
I wouldn't have gotten that if you chose that one.
No, I want to make it a little more easier. 1968, Hank Aaron hits his 500th home run.
Also wouldn't have gotten that.
You wouldn't have gotten a Hank Aaron?
I'm not a big baseball fan.
But you know Hank Aaron, though, right?
I recognize the name.
I would have given you all the hints about, you know, the Braves and one of the greatest of all time.
I definitely think Hayden would have beat me to the punch.
He probably would have. And also Wild West history. Oh, this is ironic how it happened a year apart.
My specialty.
1882, Johnny Ringo found dead. Gunfire Johnny Ringo.
Huh. R.I.P.
And also in 1881, the year before that, Billy the Kid shot to death.
R.I.P. Billy Joel with a great song.
There you go.
It's a banger.
That's this day in history for July 14th. Will, send us on our way, man. Appreciate your contribution to the show today, filling in for Tucker.
No problem. I'll be back tomorrow.
You will be back tomorrow. So another day of Will Stevens on the board.
So if you don't like me, don't listen. If you like me, tune in.
Fair enough. I couldn't have said any better. Everyone be good. We'll be back tomorrow at 6 o'clock for another edition of Overtime. You all be safe.